This is BayCare Health Chat, another podcast from BayCare Health System. Here's Melanie Cole.
Having an annual physical and wellness exam is crucially important to your overall health and one of the best ways to be proactive and be your own best health advocate. My guest today is Dr. Onit Garg. He's an internist with BayCare Health. Dr. Garg, tell us what is the importance of that annual wellness exam and why do you feel that patients really need to be their own best health advocate and make sure they keep to those wellness exams and regular checkups?
Well, Melanie, it's very important to have annual wellness exams for a number of reasons. One of the big reasons is to assure that you have ongoing good health. A lot of us come to the doctor thinking that we just need to come to the doctor for a sick visit, but there's a lot of things that we do in the annual wellness exam to detect early problems that can be occurring with health. And we do this by preventative testing and making sure you have the right vaccinations per age, gender, and your risk factors.
Tell us about some of the things that you do at the wellness exam and that annual physical. Let's start with blood work, because that seems to be a source of confusion for many patients. They don't know what you're checking and why. So speak about the blood work and what you typically check.
Okay, so the annual wellness exam is really a review of medical issues that may come about. So what we're doing for blood work related to an annual wellness exam is screening for high cholesterol. We screen for diabetes. Depending on what is present during that annual wellness exam, we will screen for vitamin deficiencies. We can also screen for thyroid abnormalities as well. Depending on the age, for example, if you're a male that is age 50 or older, we get concerned for screening for prostate cancer. Prostate cancer screening is usually done with a manual rectal exam, but it also includes something called a PSA, which is important to get on the labs because that can be elevated and indicate prostate cancer even if an exam is negative. So those are some of the things we look on the annual labs.
So people see that number. Let's just pick it apart just a little bit. Blood pressure, so important. So you take blood pressure. Sometimes it's high. There's a little white coat reaction. When do you determine if somebody, you know, maybe does have high blood pressure?
That's a good question. So high blood pressure and the definition of high blood pressure has changed over the years, and it continues to change. High blood pressure is defined as anything 140 over 90. So the top number is known as your systolic blood pressure, and that bottom number is called your diastolic blood pressure. You know, the blood pressure is important to be regulated and at a good level to prevent certain other things from occurring, such as heart attack, stroke. Those are some big things that we don't want to happen. So typically, anything less than 140 over 90 is not considered high blood pressure. However, we do have a middle ground area where if the blood pressure is running 120 over to 30, 139 on that top number, or that lower number, the diastolic number is 80 to 89, that we consider pre-hypertension, and it puts our patients at a higher risk of going on to hypertension and having those secondary illnesses such as stroke and heart attack. So we really, when we have a patient in this pre-hypertension area, we want them to maintain a healthy weight, exercise daily if possible, at least for 30 minutes a day, making sure they're taking a diet with low sodium but high in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, but the low sodium is very important. So I typically have my patients do what's called a blood pressure log. So they get hold of a blood pressure machine, which they can either get at the local pharmacy or they can even take their blood pressure at the local pharmacy. And then they log that blood pressure in for about 1 to 2 weeks and they bring it back to me in the office. And then I determine if indeed they've been running high blood pressure at home too. If they have, we either make the proper dietary changes if it's in the pre-hypertension area. If it is true high blood pressure, that's where we sit down and talk about what can be done as far as medications being added to their lifestyle.
Dr. Garg, one of the things that we've been hearing about is inflammation and our risk for heart disease and stress. As an internist, do you discuss stress, risk of heart disease, even in the blood checking like CRP? Are you looking for these markers of inflammation? And how do you explain to your patients what that even means?
So, yes, there's a lot of talk about the inflammatory markers. I don't, in particular, as an internal medicine doctor on an annual wellness exam, go into too much detail about inflammatory measures. Typically, measures like CRP and ESR, those are inflammatory markers. Patients typically will have some other things occurring in their body that would indicate that those would need to be checked. Those are not something that is those are not labs that we typically check on a routine basis. There would have to be a reason for me to check those. Now, as far as stress, I think that's an important component that can lead to high blood pressure. I often have patients that have had a stressful life event, let's say a family death, loss of a job, or another stressful situation that has caused their blood pressure to be elevated. Well, then we really have to look at it and see if it's really the stress and anxiety that has to be treated. And if that can be treated, at times we can have that blood pressure to come down as well. In my office, we are very good about sending our patients to counseling as well. If they do have a true stressful situation in life, that often can help as well. Sometimes we find that patients that are under high stress have underlying anxiety or depression, and when we treat that, that blood pressure can also improve.
And as you're talking about the things you discuss with your patients, exercise, staying active, weight management are such important aspects of this. And the American College of Sports Medicine says exercise is medicine. So do you use this as a vital sign and ask your patients, hey, are you exercising, you know, and looking at their weight and discussing some of these factors with them?
Yes, I do. I think it's very important for weight management. I discuss actually quite a few things with the patients, not just exercise. You know, a lot of my patients that come in aren't eating properly and maybe eating too much. Here in, if you go to out for a meal, our serving sizes are so big in the United States. So I always recommend patients to start with maintaining a food diary. There's a lot of different apps that are available on the smartphones that can be utilized to make that food diary. That really helps people to stay within a certain calorie range, making sure that they're eating the proper nutrients with the fruits, vegetables, and proteins that you need in a daily basis, as well as limiting the amount of saturated fats that you're having in a day. I recommend that you shop at a grocery store with a list only. Eat smaller servings. Like when you do go to that restaurant, that you box half of your meal. I also think it's important in the way the world is right now that we remember that slow, modest weight loss is really the best way to lose weight and to keep it off, and rather than doing a fad diet. Some other things that are important is making sure that you stay active. It's not, I always tell my patients, it's not so much that they need to be in a gym for 60 minutes at a time. Just getting up and getting going is important. For example, we know that 10 minutes of exercise can make a difference. So if we have, I tell my patients, you know, get up in the morning before work, take a brisk walk for 10 minutes. Take a brisk walk at lunch for 10 minutes and do the same in the evening for 10 minutes. And there you go. You've got 30 minutes of exercise. I also recommend tracking your steps. I think that's an important part of losing that weight with physical activity.
What great advice, Dr. Garg. It's really so important for patients to hear, and it will help them to be their best advocate so that they know why it is that it's so important for them to take these wellness visits and make sure that they attend their regular checkups. Wrap it up for us with your best advice about recommended preventative medicine, what you would like people to know about that blood work, about weight management, alcohol, smoking cessation, and how, as an internist, you're helping them to achieve their goals.
Well, what I like to do is actually give a little an anecdote, a true story, a couple of true stories that I've had, and sort of highlights the importance of annual screening. And they relate to prostate cancer screening and colon cancer screening. I had a younger gentleman that came into the office not too long ago at age 60, and he had come in complaining of a little of abdominal pain. And through his workup, it turned out that he had both prostate cancer and colon cancer that had spread throughout his body. Similarly, I had another gentleman that came in with screening, and we found out that he had prostate cancer, and he wasn't screened until age 65. These patients, if they had come in for their regular annual wellness exam, we could have screened them for prostate and colon cancer and prevented the cancer from occurring, or caught it early enough where it wouldn't have become a situation where it could become life-threatening. Similarly, with women, I've had similar situations. Women not getting their mammograms done every 2 years can also lead to a situation where you have advanced breast cancer. So I think that highlights the importance of screening. I'm a big advocate about cancer screening, especially the ones that we can prevent and treat if they're caught early. The other thing that I'm a big advocate on is making sure we screen our women as well as our men for osteoporosis. As we get older, especially at age 65 and older, we're at a much higher risk of getting osteoporosis and having a fracture just with a minimal fall or tear. So you don't want that happening. We want to keep our patients healthy. Get screened. We're here for you at BayCare to keep our patients healthy and keep you going.
Thank you so much. Really great information, so important for listeners to hear. Thank you again, Dr. Garg, for joining us today. You're listening to BayCare Health Chat. For more information, please visit baycare.org. That's baycare.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for tuning in.